This is an unnerving gospel, just a little bit, because Jesus here seems to be cruel. And I'm grateful that I don't have to interpret it on my own, that you're just given this gospel passage, which the church gives us every 3 years, and be like, all right, do with this as you will. But instead, the church gives us as well, through her history, ways of understanding the harder passages in Scripture. That the church, beginning with St. Paul, all through the church fathers and the great saints, have given us ways of interpreting and understanding what Jesus is doing here, and also what he's not. One of the things he is not doing here is this isn't a case of here's Jesus who's tired and weary at the end of a long day, and this woman comes persistent to him, and he ignores her at first, and then he snaps at her and insults her, and then eventually he does the right thing in the end. This way that, well, we can relate to Jesus in his human side coming out here. Like when you come home and your husband asks you for something and you ignore him at first and then you snap and bite off his head and then in the end you do the right thing. That's not what's happening here. Although that's been thrown out as an interpretation every now and then. But it's not, because Jesus is God. And God is free of sin. And that would be a sin. And so yes, when you do that to your husband, that's a sin. Or vice versa. But the church, instead, through her history, has given two things mainly that she points to. She doesn't limit it to this, but she gives two guiding posts of ways of understanding what is happening here. That Jesus is testing the faith of this woman, and he's also testing his disciples. That this isn't a case of us, if you were to take the wrong interpretation, of having to lower Jesus down to us so we can relate to him, but instead what Jesus is doing is he's taking and he's raising us up. First of all, he's testing this woman's faith. As he tests your own faith, Jesus tests your faith. And it's unnerving. He tests your faith, and you can say, Jesus, this isn't necessary. You know I love you. You know I believe in you. I trust in you. But yet he continues to test your faith. He knows you, and he knows your faith better than you do. And he tests your faith to purify it and to strengthen it. St. Teresa of Avila was raising her complaint to God of all the trials that she was going through in the midst of her own life and in her prayer and with her order. And Jesus said to her in prayer in response, this is how I treat all my friends. To which she responded, if this is how you treat your friends, Lord, no wonder you have so few. Jesus tests our faith, though, and he tests yours. And he will continue to test your faith. Why? Because your faith is a most precious thing that he has given you. It is this most precious thing that the Lord has given you, is your faith. And the faith that he has given you is the foundation for the whole rest of your life, all of it. And so he tests it to strengthen it and to purify it, so that your life will be built on a strong foundation. And so this woman comes to him, and she shows, as she comes to him, this great courage, this confidence, which is different. What's the opposite of courage? It's a discouragement. Well, Jesus won't hear. It's not worthwhile bringing these prayers to him. Our heart becomes discouraged. And our heart is that which becomes weary and worn down. But this woman comes to Jesus with great courage. And Jesus here is not cruel, but he tests her heart to strengthen her faith and to purify it, this most precious treasure that she has, this foundation from which Jesus will do much. So it's a testing of this woman in her faith. The other thing that the church points to that Jesus is doing as he is testing his disciples, he's testing his disciples because these disciples with him, he is forming his church, and they will be the foundation through their faith in him, the foundation of the church that he is forming. And he's forming here a foundation which will be solid, and you see this continually again and again with those who are close to Jesus, with his apostles. Who do you see most often in the gospel? Jesus testing. Whose faith? Peter most often, the cornerstone of the foundation. Not because he was just picking on Peter, but he was doing this so that Peter's faith would be something which would withstand the storms that would come, and they will come, and they do come for him. But he tests Peter's faith, and he's testing his disciples here as well. And he's strengthening and purifying their own faith. So the faith that they will be able to give to the world will be something precious. He's strengthening this which will be the foundation of his church, because his church will be the new Israel. You as a church, the church, as Christians, what's your whole purpose? Why are you a Christian? What's your purpose in being a Christian? To save your own soul, yes, but it's not just that. That happens through something else as well. Our vocation, our purpose as a church, it's the same as what Israel's was. It's to be a light to the nations. It's to bring back, as Jesus comes to do, and as the church continues as his body, to bring back all who are scattered. That in sin, all the peoples of the world were scattered, and God chose the Israelites to be his people, not simply for their own sake, but that he would be able through them to be a light to the nations, his light, and to gather all people back to him. That this was their purpose, that this was their whole mission. And so he brings them, and he's testing them to Tyre and Sidon, which Tyre and Sidon, within like the Holy Land, it's like if Jesus was in North Dakota and he were to go up to Granora, North Dakota, about as far flung up in the northwest corner as you can get. Do you know where Granora is at? Of course you don't. Who does? It's a little teeny town way up north, like an hour north of Williston, up by the Canadian border. No one ever drives through it. If you're going to go there, you're going to drive to it. There's not much else up there. This is Tyre and Sidon, and it's pagan territory. And so Jesus, who's coming and revealing in the midst of this gospel, his gathering of the tribes back and restoring the kingdom. Here he brings his disciples up to this far-flung little corner, up to this pagan territory, and his disciples are like, what are you bringing us here for? In their own hearts. They had to have been wondering, why are we coming up here? And here comes this woman to him, begging and pleading. And you see this exchange take place between them. And when Jesus finally responds, he says, sir, it's not right to give the food of the children to the dogs. The pagans, the Canaanites, all the other pagans, the Jewish people would sometimes, in a derogatory sense, refer to them as the dogs, the ones who weren't chosen. They aren't the people. They would have never said this to Jesus, of course. they would have maybe whispered it under their breath, and as they were being brought up to this little region, thought, why are we coming up to the region of the dogs? And so Jesus says this in a way in which is tongue-in-cheek, perhaps. It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Right, guys? As their hearts sink, as they recognize what he's doing here, she responds in this beautiful way, humbling herself. Even the dogs will eat the scraps which fall from the table of their master. Isaiah, in his prophecy, speaks of all the nations, all peoples coming to the mountain of the Lord, coming to him to worship him there. This mountain is the Mount of Calvary, where all people will come to worship Jesus there. And the church points to the scraps which fall from the table, the mount which all people will come to worship him, and the scraps which fall from the table, this Eucharistic image. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, speaks of the Lord God allowing all people to fall into disobedience, all people, so that he could show his mercy to all, in recognizing that all people who come to the Lord are not worthy to receive him. But yet, this woman recognizes how precious even the scraps which fall from the master's table are, how precious and how valuable that is, as we're to recognize in this image of the Lord who feeds us from his table. Because we're not worthy, and he gives this to us for our own sake, but the Eucharist we receive that it might purify our faith and our soul and strengthen us. But it's not even given to you just for your own sake. Even your faith that you've received has not been given to you just for your own sake. I think of my own life, blessed in so many ways. Born into a really good family. My parents were not perfect, but they gave what was most important, the faith, and all these different things that happened in life. But all of that, I could look at my life and say, oh, wow, I was just uniquely blessed. But none of that was given to me for my own sake, just for my own sake. It was given to me for your sake. It's given to you, everything in your life, not simply for your own sake, yes, so that it might save your soul. How does that happen? That you might be a light to others. Why were you given the gift of faith and your brother seemingly wasn't? Why? Is Jesus cruel? Is he just cruel to your brother? Why did he choose you to give the gift of faith to? That you, having received that gift and having been tested in it, and that faith that you've received, having been purified and having been strengthened, that you might be a light to your brother and that you might bring to him that gift of faith. And when you bring that to him, the gift of faith, which is Jesus himself, you're bringing to him something that's truly precious, something that's valuable, something that's a true foundation that they can build their life on. Something, in other words, a faith that's real. That's what Jesus wants us to have. A real faith. A solid one. One that we recognize the value of. So that when we're asked to go out, as we know our mission is as the church, we can go out knowing that what I want to give to the world and to my brother is something that's worth having. Through everything. Because it is the foundation, and I can approach Jesus with courage, even as he tests me. That I can approach him with courage, asking even for those most precious scraps that fall from his table, that he might strengthen me, and that he might give my faith its true value.